President Obama will be giving a statement in just a few minutes on the Supreme Court's decision this morning in the long-awaited King versus Burwell case. For those of you who haven't heard this morning, the court ruled 6-3 in favor of upholding the federal subsidies that make it possible for millions of people to afford health coverage under the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. The majority decision was written by Chief Justice John Roberts. I'm joined here in the studio this morning by Dan Margulies, who covers health care for KCUR. And Dan, good morning to you.
Morning, Steve.
Well, this is obviously a very big decision.
Momentous.
Tell me about it.
Absolutely momentous. I mean, if the court had ruled otherwise and favored the challenge to these subsidies, millions of people across the country who got their insurance on so-called federally established exchanges as opposed to state-established exchanges would have been at risk of losing their health coverage because they simply would not be able to afford the coverage. About 87% of all people who acquire their health coverage on the Obamacare exchanges receive subsidies. So the fact that the court ruled today, rejected the challenge to these subsidies if they were obtained on federal exchanges as opposed to state exchanges, is absolutely huge, huge. It's estimated that some 6.4 million people in the three dozen or so states that did not establish their own exchanges were at risk of losing their health coverage because they wouldn't have been able to afford it had the court ruled differently than it ruled today.
We're waiting for President Obama to give a statement on this big ruling. Dan Margulies calls it momentous from the U.S. Supreme Court this morning. Dan, how surprised were you by the 6-3 majority ruling here? A lot of experts said it might be a 5-4 decision. How surprising is this?
Actually, as some of my colleagues might be able to tell you, and I don't mean to pat myself on the back here, but yesterday I did say it was going to be a 6-3 decision upholding the subsidies. I predicted
I want witnesses to back this. I'm going to check after we get off the air here,
Peggy,
Dan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that Justice Roberts would join the liberals on the court because he is a pragmatist. And that was evidenced by the 2012 decision upholding Obamacare and the individual mandate. He wrote the majority decision in that case as well. And he, I think, is very concerned with the institutional integrity of the court, more so perhaps than others. He's concerned about his legacy. And the fact is that had the court ruled differently today, it would have caused huge disruptions for the lives of millions of people, as I noted, as well as in the insurance market as a whole. So that kind of disruption would tend to undermine the integrity and the trust that people repose in the institution of the Supreme Court. So that's why I thought he would reject the challenge. And I also thought, based on his questioning at oral argument, that Justice Kennedy would also rule with the majority in this case, and that's what he did. The three dissenters, it was clear all along that they were going to rule in favor of the challengers. I'm talking about Justices Scalia, Alito, and Thomas. And Justice Scalia, as is his wont, issued a scathing dissent today.
We have about a minute before the president speaks, I'm told. Dan, is this the last hurdle for the Affordable Care Act? Will this begin to end the controversy, or maybe not?
I think this makes it abundantly clear that now Obamacare is entrenched as a fact of life in America. This was the last big hurdle that it had to overcome. And I don't think there's any question now, 5 years in, having survived this challenge, that Obamacare is here to stay.
And certainly politically now, Republicans seeming to sort of back away a little bit from the idea of trying to undermine Obamacare and end the program.
I think it's going to become increasingly clear, even to the most ardent opponents, that this is not a repealable act anymore, that it is too just entrenched.
Again, President Barack Obama is going to be speaking to us in just a few minutes. Following his remarks this morning, we will analyze this ruling. We'll analyze what he has to say, and we'll speak with an attorney from Shook, Hardy & Bacon, who was in Washington today at the Supreme Court, hearing this ruling come down for the U.S. Supreme Court. Again, President Obama is going to speak to us here just momentarily. But again, Dan, your feeling is that today really does cross. You're crossing the Rubicon here in some sense for the Affordable Care Act.
Absolutely, Steve. You know, in the state of Missouri, some 200,000 people have subsidies that they got through Obamacare, and in Kansas, 70,000.
Here's President Barack Obama.
A year of bipartisan debate. We finally declared that in America, health care is not a privilege for a few, but a right for all. Over those 5 years, as we've worked to implement the Affordable Care Act, there have been successes and setbacks. The setbacks I remember clearly. But as the dust has settled, there can be no doubt that this law is working. It has changed and, in some cases, saved American lives. It set this country on a smarter, stronger course. And today, after more than 50 votes in Congress to repeal or weaken this law, after a presidential election based in part on preserving or repealing this law, after multiple challenges to this law before the Supreme Court, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. This morning, the court upheld a critical part of this law, the part that's made it easier for Americans to afford health insurance regardless of where you live. If the partisan challenge to this law had succeeded, millions of Americans would have had thousands of dollars worth of tax credits taken from them. For many, insurance would have become unaffordable again. Many would have become uninsured again. Ultimately, everyone's premiums could have gone up. America would have gone backwards. And that's not what we do. That's not what America does. We move forward. So today is a victory for hardworking Americans all across this country whose lives will continue to become more secure in a changing economy because of this law. If you're a parent, you can keep your kids on your plan till they turn 26, something that has covered millions of young people so far. That's because of this law. If you're a senior or an American with a disability, this law gives you discounts on your prescriptions, something that has saved 9 million Americans an average of $1,600 so far. If you're a woman, you can't be charged more than anybody else. Even if you've had cancer or your husband had heart disease or just because you're a woman. Your insurer has to offer preventive services like mammograms. They can't place annual or lifetime caps on your care because of this law. Because of this law and because of today's decision, millions of Americans who I hear from every single day will continue to receive the tax credits that have given about 8 in 10 people who buy insurance on the new marketplaces the choice of a health care plan that costs less than $100 a month. And when it comes to pre-existing conditions, someday our grandkids will ask us if there was really a time when America discriminated against people who get sick, because that is something this law has ended for good. That affects everybody with health insurance, not just folks who got insurance through the Affordable Care Act. All of America has protections it didn't have before. As the law's provisions have gradually taken effect, more than 16 million uninsured Americans have gained coverage so far. Nearly 1 in 3 Americans who was uninsured a few years ago is insured today. The uninsured rate in America is the lowest since we began to keep records. And that is something we can all be proud of. Meanwhile, the law has helped hold the price of health care to its slowest growth in 50 years. If your family gets insurance through your job, so you're not using the Affordable Care Act, you're still paying about $1,800 less per year on average than you would be if we hadn't done anything. By one leading measure, what business owners pay out in wages and salaries is now finally growing faster than what they spend on health insurance. That hasn't happened in 17 years, and that's good for workers, and it's good for the economy. The point is, this is not an abstract thing anymore. This is not a set of political talking points. This is reality. We can see how it is working. This law is working exactly as it's supposed to. In many ways, this law is working better than we expected it to. For all the misinformation campaigns, all the doomsday predictions, all the talk of death panels and job destruction, for all the repeal attempts, this law is now helping tens of millions of Americans. And they've told me that it has changed their lives for the better. I've had moms come up and say, my son was able to see a doctor and get diagnosed and catch a tumor early, and he's alive today because of this law. This law is working, and it's going to keep doing just that. 5 years in, this is no longer about a law. This is not about the Affordable Care Act as legislation or Obamacare as a political football. This is healthcare in America. And unlike Social Security or Medicare, a lot of Americans still don't know what Obamacare is beyond all the political noise in Washington. Across the country, there remain people who are directly benefiting from the law, but don't even know it. And that's okay. There's no card that says Obamacare when you enroll. But that's by design, for this has never been a government takeover of healthcare, despite cries to the contrary. This reform remains what it's always been, a set of fairer rules and tougher protections that have made healthcare in America more affordable, more attainable, and more about you, the consumer, the American people. It's working. And with this case behind us, let's be clear, we've still got work to do to make healthcare in America even better. We'll keep working to provide consumers with all the tools you need to make informed choices about your care. We'll keep working to increase the use of preventive care that avoids bigger problems down the road. We'll keep working to boost the steadily improving quality of care in hospitals, bring down costs even lower, make the system work even better. Already, we've seen reductions, for example, in the number of readmissions at hospitals. That saves our society money, it saves families money, makes people healthier. We're making progress. We're going to keep working to get more people covered. I'm going to work as hard as I can to convince more governors and state legislatures to take advantage of the law, put politics aside, and expand Medicaid and cover their citizens. We've still got states out there that, for political reasons, are not covering millions of people that they could be covering, despite the fact that the federal government's picking up the tab. So we've got more work to do, but what we're not going to do is unravel what has now been woven into the fabric of America. And my greatest hope is that rather than keep refighting battles that have been settled again and again and again, I can work with Republicans and Democrats to move forward. Let's join together. Make healthcare in America even better. 3 generations ago, we chose to end an era when seniors were left to languish in poverty. We passed Social Security, and slowly it was woven into the fabric of America and made a difference in the lives of millions of people. 2 generations ago, we chose to end an age when Americans in their golden years didn't have the guarantee of health care. Medicare was passed, and it helped millions of people. This generation of Americans chose to finish the job, to turn the page on a past when our citizens could be denied coverage just for being sick, to close the books on a history where tens of millions of Americans had no hope of finding decent, affordable health care, had to hang their chances on fate. We chose to write a new chapter where, in a new economy, Americans are free to change their jobs or start a business, chase a new idea, raise a family free from fear, secure in the knowledge that portable, affordable health care is there for us and always will be. And that if we get sick, we're not going to lose our home. That if we get sick, that we're going to be able to still look after our families. That's when America soars, when we look out for one another, when we take care of each other, when we root for one another's success, when we strive to do better and to be better than the generation that came before us, and try to build something better for generations to come. That's why we do what we do. That's the whole point of public service. So this was a good day for America. Let's get back to work.
You're listening to special coverage from KCUR News this morning. We just heard remarks from President Barack Obama speaking to the country from the Rose Garden this morning. He took no questions from reporters. He's walking back into the Oval Office as we speak here. For those of you who haven't heard the big news this morning, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of upholding the federal subsidies that make it possible for millions of people to afford health coverage under the Affordable Care Act, a big win for President Obama, a big win for the Affordable Care Act. I'm joined in the studio this morning by KCUR's Dan Margulies. And Dan, as we were listening to the president, you just had to think that this is, if not the high water mark for President Barack Obama during his almost two terms in office, this comes pretty close.
Well, this unquestionably, Steve, is his signature legislative achievement. Nobody disputes that. And it is, you know, something that presidents have been trying to enact, namely health care for every American for 100 years. So there is no question that this piece of legislation, to perhaps overuse a word I used before, is momentous. And as I said earlier, this was really the last major hurdle to assuring that this legislation stays in place.
And from a political standpoint, certainly begins to seal President Barack Obama's legacy here.
Absolutely. You know, he made reference to the Medicare legislation, which was enacted 50 years ago, and faced the same kind of resistance that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, has faced over the last 5 years. And nobody thinks that today that Medicare is in any danger of being dismantled. There are all kinds of suggestions of how to change it, reform it, tweak it. But nobody is suggesting today, as they were 50 years ago, that it be repealed. And I think that 50 years from now, Obamacare will find itself in the same position.
And Medicare, of course, signed at the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library right here in Independence,
right, and
Missouri.
And the very first recipients were Harry and Bess Truman.
I want to bring on Madeline McDonough, who's an attorney with Shook, Hardy & Bacon. She joins us this morning from her office in Washington, D.C., where earlier this morning she sat in the courtroom as the decision was handed down. Madeline, thank you for taking some time with us.
Happy to be here, Steve.
I've just got to ask, what was it like being in that courtroom? What was the reaction like when the court and the justices handed down their big decision here?
Well, there was a lot of tension in the courtroom, and, you know, many of the Supreme Court watchers were there for different cases. There were 7 cases remaining in this term over the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Monday. So some of the courtroom was there for the same-sex marriage case or the death penalty case or one of the others. Nobody knew for sure that the Affordable Care Act opinion would be delivered today. But when Justice Roberts said that he would deliver the opinion in King versus Burwell, you could actually hear people sort of, you know, breathing, exhaling. They were surprised. No one knew what would actually come up today, and so everybody sort of leaned forward on their seats and was all ears. And with Justice Roberts delivering the opinion, I think most of the lawyers in the room figured this would happen. They didn't know exactly how the court was going to get there, but it was a good sign for those in favor of the Affordable Care Act that Justice Roberts was the majority opinion person and the one delivering the opinion.
Our phone number here, if our listeners want to chime in with their thoughts about this huge Supreme Court ruling today, 816-235-2888. Again, area code 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. How surprised were you, Madeline, by the ruling? What did you think of it?
I actually was not surprised. I didn't know, of course, what the final ruling would be. A lot of people thought it might be 5-4. Some people suggested 6-3. One interesting thing, and by the way, I totally agree with Dan's assessment that this is really a momentous occasion. You know, a lot of people were surprised that Justice Kennedy went with the majority on this because he was rather skeptical the last time around when the Affordable Care Act was challenged. But he did join the majority this time. I think a lot of court watchers believed that Justice Roberts also has a legacy, perhaps, to protect with the Affordable Care Act, and he was very creative and, some say, statesmanlike in the first go-round on this, and I think he was again today.
And we can probably expect conservatives to be very critical of John Roberts in the days ahead in the wake of this decision. Madeline, that I guess that only makes sense here.
I think so. It was really kind of the classic split on the court. You had the strict constructionists of Justices Scalia, Alito, and Thomas. They found technical reasons to try to vitiate the exchange portion of the act, whereas I think Justice Roberts went out of his way to say it may not be the most artfully drafted statute in the world, but we do have a duty to look to the clear purpose and intent of the act and figure out what the legislators meant. We are not in the position of trying to undo what the legislators wanted. And there, he also relied on some technical arguments to support that opinion, as well as, you know, much of the language, context, and background of the act itself. So he found two grounds, basically, to support the act, both technical and substantive.
Obviously, the court did not rule today, Madeline, on the other big decision here, which is the gay marriage ruling. Any sense, and I don't think there is, as to when that ruling might come down?
You know, lots of speculation and plenty of gambling outside the courthouse steps today, but it's either tomorrow or Monday, but we just don't know which.
Dan Margulies from KCUR News, hop in here, Dan.
Yeah, Madeline, I'm curious to know, did Justice Scalia read his dissent in open court?
He did. It was a summary of his dissent, but it was a lengthy summary. And, you know, he drew some reaction from the crowd a couple of times. He tried to characterize, I think, the majority opinion as saying, well, these things were just mistakes in the drafting, and they're technical and they're not substantive. But he said, as to the particular phrase at issue, which was, the particular phrase about where the exchanges come from, he said they couldn't have made that mistake seven times. He says that is written in the act seven times. The phrase is established by the state. And so he accused the majority of rewriting the act. And then he later said we ought to call this act SCOTUS care, meaning Supreme Court of the United States care. And when he said that, there was some nervous laughter in the courtroom. And, he had a very, I would say, strong, scathing dissent, and he expressed a lot of disfavor with what the majority had done.
His written dissent is dripping with sarcasm. Did that come across in his reading of the summary of the dissent?
I think there can be no doubt that it did. Very sarcastic.
You know, it is amazing to me that this many years in on this law, that the level of controversy continues even to this day, Dan. You know, with Scalia's dissent here today, this thing is still being debated, and the controversy simply doesn't leave the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I think the controversy, on the contrary, will be leaving it. There'll be the dead-enders and the folks who continue to resist it and try to get it repealed. But today's decision cements its place in American life. I don't think there's any question about it. No more than, as I said before, Medicare is considered repealable today, will Obamacare, after this decision, be considered repealable. I mean, they had their last and perhaps best shot at it with this case.
And Madeline, do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And, you know, what today's opinion means, even just as of today, is about 6.5 million people who have been on the 34 federally established exchanges will get to keep that. And so there's been a tremendous level of reliance and acceptance of this act already to date. And I do agree with Dan. I think America may have dodged the last bullet fired at this act.
I want to go to some phone calls here. 816-235-2888. Your reaction to today's ruling and the King versus Burwell case that apparently seems to cement the Affordable Care Act into American life and culture for perhaps decades to come. Mike from Lawrence, welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm ecstatic.
Why, Mike?
Two weeks ago, I had an $18,000 doctor bill due to vertigo and vestibular neuritis 2 weeks ago. Because of this act, I only had to pay $2,900 for that. Previously, I would have been bankrupted by debt like this. And I called up all my legislators and told them, you're not taking my insurance. You know, I said, if you want to take this insurance, you don't care about working people. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. Mike, interesting to hear that from you. This thing has changed your life, it sounds like.
Yeah, because I went about two, three. I had company insurance for 11 years, and then for 2 years I didn't. I watched my brother go through leukemia, and I watched my dad go through a liver transplant, and they both had insurance, and I didn't. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Well, Mike, I'm glad. Thank you for your call. I'm glad your situation has been rectified here by this law. And Mike is exactly the kind of guy that President Obama was just talking about, Dan.
Absolutely. I mean, we just did a piece on the radio. Alex Smith, who is one of our health reporters at Heartland Health Monitor, did a wonderful piece earlier this week. And it focused on a woman who had never previously had health care because she couldn't afford it. And she said, but for the subsidies, she still would not be able to afford it, but these subsidies have made it affordable for her. You know, the average subsidy for Americans who qualify for it, and that's anybody who makes between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level, mm-hmm. is $270 a month. That ain't hay. And as I said before, the vast majority of people who get subsidies would not be able to afford health coverage without them. So today's decision for people like Mike means everything in the world to them because, you know, devoid of health insurance, somebody like Mike would, as he said, be bankrupt.
And we were talking before about this being a high watermark for President Obama. You know, I'm just struck by, you know, listening to his remarks live this morning, Dan. You got a very clear sense that he didn't want to walk off the podium and stop speaking. He clearly was in the moment and relishing what this moment means to him and to the country.
I am sure that within nanoseconds of the Supreme Court's having handed down its decision, Steve, his aides rushed into his office to let him know the good news, mm-hmm. and that statement was being written, and probably the ink wasn't dry when he was reading it.
Madeline McDonough, as you exited the building this morning, what were you hearing from the crowd? What were people saying to you as you walked out the door there?
Well, before I could even exit the door, I could hear the crowd screaming. They were actually chanting in a pretty organized fashion, ACA is here to stay. ACA is here to stay. That's Affordable Care Act. And there were lots of people there, many of them disabled, visibly disabled. And others, I don't know their medical backgrounds, but clearly people were very, very grateful for this opinion. It truly is a matter of life and death for some of them, and clearly quality of life for some of them. And I think Mike's comments reflect those of millions of people across the country. So this really was not just some technical victory or a political victory. I think it really matters for real people every day.
Very well stated.
Madeline McDonough, again, an attorney with Shook, Hardy & Bacon, and she joins us from her office in Washington, D.C. this morning. She's a member of KCUR's advisory board. Madeline, thank you so much. You did a great job.
Thank you, Steve and Dan.
Dan Margulies, KCUR's health reporter, health editor. Dan, good to have you, too.
Always a pleasure, Steve.